This
is
KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop. I used to get mad at my school. The teachers that taught me weren't cool. They're holding me down, turning me around, filling me up with your rules. I have to admit, it's getting better, a little better all the time. Hello, and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staten with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer, and welcome back to campus. Always great to have you here.
Well, thank you. I'm always happy to be here. And I have to say, I feel very relaxed and comforted when I step on campus, but I also note that I'm here at a time of year that is not necessarily a relaxing time.
This is the home stretch.
It's the home stretch. There are final exams coming up. You know, seniors may be trying to figure out what's happening next.
Exactly.
And I actually realized, I look back through every episode we've ever recorded.
Four seasons.
We have never talked about stress.
Well, because stress doesn't exist in our lives.
Wow. Well, I want to hear how you lead your life then, because you've obviously got some secrets that the rest of us don't have. But I thought it might be good in an episode to talk about stress, because I think that is a part of a lot of people's formal education experiences. If you ask them what was school like, or college or graduate school, oh, it was really stressful. Tests were stressful. But
right.
you're saying otherwise.
No, I'm just being sarcastic. It's interesting. If you're talking about stress in general or stress within school, I will say that within the context of school, the stress comes from the fact that this exercise is doing many, many things that in some sense are competing with each other. So one aspect is the fact that my diploma and my degree and my grades are going to get me this great job and launch my career. And the other is that I'm trying to make deep meaning of some interesting ideas that I'm drawn to.
And those are happening at the same time.
They're happening at the same time. And I mean, so when you talk about what's the value of grades, I mean, if you want to talk about stress, you got to talk about grades and you got to talk about GPAs. And the truth is, you know, what exactly are those things measuring? In this country, we are a competitive nation. We like to compete. And unfortunately, instead of competing against the subject, so if I'm a student thinking I am going to conquer calculus, instead it's, well, I need to earn an A to get into medical school. So I've got to do a lot better than everyone else in the class. And I've got to, and so it changes the dynamic and it makes it less thoughtful in a way. So grades are not helpful in terms of stress, but also in terms of what education should really be about.
I'm wondering also how much of stress is us. I mean, let's say I'm taking calculus and I get a D on a test. All right. So what does a D tell me? It tells me there's material that I haven't yet mastered or I don't yet understand.
Right.
It doesn't tell me I'm a bad person. It doesn't tell the teacher that the teacher is a bad teacher. It doesn't tell me I'm lazy. It doesn't tell me a lot of things that we sometimes load onto it. So there's got to be a part of stress that is what we bring to the table, right?
Well, we're vested. I mean, learning is very personal. So, of course, we're going to have emotional reactions to triumphs and to failures. And we're going to have an emotional reaction when things don't go our way, especially when we tried really hard. The stress also will come from the frustration of, but I studied so hard. How could I have gotten that D? And that's, of course, as we've discussed for four seasons, that's an opportunity for learning to occur. And you can turn that into effective failure or effective D, whatever. But most students don't think that way. They think, I worked hard. I studied really, really hard, you know, the night before the test, and I should have seen the positive results of that effort. And the fact that I didn't means that, you know, gosh, I guess I'm not good at math, or my teacher was really bad, and so forth, rather than saying, here is an invitation for me to find a way to be more effective and to be better.
So do you do things with your students to try to get them out of the stress mode of thinking about, let's use that D as an example, and into that, okay, this is telling me something. What is this telling me? What can I learn from this? How do you manage that in the classroom with students?
Well, when I'm teaching a math class, so when I teach my puzzle solving class, there genuinely really, I think, is no stress. There's frustration.
I'm signing up for your class.
You're more than welcome. I'd love to have you. there's frustration because these puzzles are really challenging, but there's no stress because even if you didn't finish the puzzles that are due that Monday night, you can actually provide an interim status report and get an extension to keep working as long as you really gave it your all, but you want to keep working. I'm interested in them eventually conquering it rather than doing it on time. But when I teach math classes, there's a lot of stress. First of all, there is math phobia, right? There's an actual name.
Oh, yes, we talked about that.
And so what I do is I try to get them over the other side of that. I mean, if you think about it, they're doing their homework casually, you know, lying in their residence hall, their apartment, or working in a library. They've got, you know, their earbuds in, they're listening to music. And then when I give them the test, they have 50 minutes, go. So I tried to simulate that anxiety-inducing situation when the stakes are very, very low or zero. So I'll give them a question, and I'll say, you've got 45 seconds to answer this question, go. And then not only will I keep that time very, very quick, but I will yell at them and say things like, hurry up, come on, hurry up, you've got 15 seconds left, hurry up, hurry up.
You're like the sitting on one of their shoulders.
I'm sitting on
angel or devil.
I'm the devil on both shoulders. When they can work in that environment, then they're not going to have stress when they're given, you know, the luxury of 50 minutes to take on their exam.
Now, you brought up a really interesting point when you started that answer. You said they experience frustration, but not stress. You know, let's define stress, because maybe our definitions are different from each other's and from other people's. How do you define stress?
Wow. Okay. Let's see. I would say that stress is a strain on one's emotion that is negative to their attitude. Whereas frustration is the intellectual energy of not being able to accomplish something they want to accomplish.
And
what do you think? Do you think you like those definitions?
I do.
I just made those up.
I would add to the stress one. I think there's an element of the definition of stress that has to do with not being in control.
Oh,
I would try to work that in a little bit. I think that stress often is
kind of not having power or something.
Yeah, when you feel kind of powerless or not in control of the situation, I think that can tend to generate some stress.
I think it's more being overwhelmed, which may be you may be in control, you may not be in control, but I'd say overwhelmed is a good one.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And
too,
and that would not carry out a frustration. And you can be frustrated, and it's not overwhelming per se.
It's a little bit like the phenomenon of saying, "Oh, I only got 2 hours of sleep last night." Only got, you know, there's a little bit of a badge of honor. I'm really stressed. School is really stressful. There's sort of a way that is an expected part of the experience.
But see, there's an example where, in fact, they do have control. We have more control than we want. That person had 2 hours of sleep. It was up to that person. And if that person says, well, I had tons of stuff due the next day, you should have been working on that for 2 weeks or a week or whatever. And it's up to you. So you need to take more control of your life. And I think probably you can then intentionally reduce that stress.
So I'm going to make a confession.
Please.
The puzzler sometimes causes me some stress.
Now, that you are saying just as a segue, because I happen to know, and I want you to tell our listening audience right now that was just a kind of a cheap segue.
I would give it 50-50.
Okay,
sometimes the puzzler stresses me, but I was also trying to introduce the art of the segue into this segment.
Which I keep killing, don't I?
So.
I will tell you, by the way, I was talking to a group of people just the other day, and they mentioned our program.
In kind terms, I
hope. Very kind.
Oh,
well,
good.
They were introducing me, so of course I was in the room. But the person really did stress, if you will, really stressed the fact that the puzzlers were one of the more charming recurring themes.
Excellent.
And so people are really listening to them.
Excellent. Well, bring it on.
All right.
Let's hear the next one.
So this, again, was sent in by a listener.
Okay.
And I thought this was a real great one. I changed it a little bit to make it a little bit more academic. So
okay.
I changed language, but the concept came from one of our listeners. So here's the question.
Okay.
You have 100 people at a party, and you're told the following about these people. 90 of them love mathematics.
Okay.
80 of them love art.
Okay.
And 75 of them love philosophy. So you have 100 people at this party. You're told that 90 of them love math, 80 of them love art, and 75 love philosophy. The question is, at least how many people love all three disciplines?
This is a good one because I think it's harder than it seems.
If you want frustration and stress, I'm your boy.
I like this one, though, because I think there's a pathway. I think I can find the pathway to thought. It's just going to take a couple of minutes.
Well, you've got a whole week.
I've got a whole week.
So, as do our listeners.
Everybody's got a week to figure this one out. Now, Ed, as we start to wrap up here, it does occur to me that we've been talking about stress completely in negative terms. And I'm wondering if stress, however we're defining it or folks are defining it, if there is anything helpful, positive, motivating, if there's any aspect of stress that is useful as people are going through their formal education experience?
Boy, that's a really great question. And, you know, it reminded me of an address I gave to educators who educate in the medical arts. So these are people who are training future doctors and nurses and practitioners.
Well, no stress there.
Exactly. And they brought me and I gave a keynote address on thinking. And during the Q&A, one of the people asked me, what do you think about kind of these standardized tests that our students, you know, these are professional tests, you know, kind of in the medical arts that they have to take in order to become certified or whatever. And it's very stressful. And my knee-jerk reaction, of course, was standardized tests are, you know, not so great. But then as I kept vamping, I came around and said, you know what, actually, I think it's important because these professionals, someone who's in the medical arts, doctor, nurse, practitioner, whatever it is, they will be under high stress. It's literally life or death. Someone comes into the emergency room, whether it's a heart attack or a stroke or a gunshot victim, whatever it is, they have to act immediately. There's no time for stress and for fretting. So I said, you know what? I like the idea of teaching how to manage stress and to put people in situations where they can experience it and then learn and teach them how to overcome it, which is a mindful process. And so the truth is, yeah, I think we all experience stress in our everyday lives, even beyond our formal educations. So why shouldn't our formal education offer a playground where we can develop how we personally handle stress in productive and helpful ways and also in healthful ways?
You mentioned something that got me thinking. I think sometimes people get stressed about stress, or they get stressed about getting stressed.
That's right.
So instead of thinking about mindful ways to work through it, confronting it, they just get more. I'm saying they, I'm probably in that group too. They just get more stressed about being stressed.
It reminds me of the student who comes to my office hours and has spent hours creating charts showing me if they get a 90 on the final, they might get a C in the course. If they get an 85 on the final, they might get a C minus. And I look at all this work and said, if you would have just committed that time to studying calculus, this wouldn't even be an issue. But they are actually focusing on the stress rather than on the thing.
Well, Dr. Ed Berger, thank you for never stressing us out.
Of course.
Well, most of the time, not
most
stressing
of the time.
Us out. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. I'm Jennifer Staten, KUT News.